friends in the industry. So before we dive into our conversation today, I want to spend a little bit of time highlighting the importance of consistency when you're pursuing your goals while maintaining a high level of patience throughout your pursuit. So in a recent conversation I had all about goal setting and patience with a mentor of mine, I shared that I'm super impatient, frustrated sometimes, and he shared a perspective that was really accurate. He said, you cannot plant a tree today and expect to eat the apple tomorrow. So simply put, the goals that we have set out for ourselves won't necessarily be achieved overnight. So not big goals anyway, the ones that scare you, like, oh my goodness, what am I doing? Can't believe I'm pursuing this. Usually they take a lot of time and a lot of effort to work out so that you can achieve them. So when you reflect on how you're pursuing your goals right now, how do you find yourself feeling? Are you impatient? Are you okay? Are you asking, why hasn't this transpired yet? I'm working so hard. Well, I really want to encourage you to continue to push forward as you pursue your goals. And honestly, one of the biggest benefits or greatest benefits of pursuing your goals is not necessarily the achievement itself, because that's pretty short-lived. But it's the greatest benefit is honestly the journey and who you become throughout that journey. And in my experience, one of the best ways to stay consistent in your pursuit is who you surround yourself with. Make sure that you're strategic. You're hanging out with people, talking to people that are also spending time pursuing their goals, big goals. So that way you can lean on each other, but you can also learn from each other as you both pursue it. So I'm Josh Hanabry, the host here at the Truck Focus Podcast. And our mission here is simple. We're connecting transportation industry leaders to the industry to help create a pivotal change. And today I'm super excited as I get to speak to a friend of mine. His name's Chad Hayden, CEO and founder of Galatea Technologies. So you see, when I first connected with Chad a while ago, honestly, one of the things that stood out like very noticeably about him, as soon you'll learn here in this podcast episode, was his passion to achieve his goals. But he also understands that achieving the goal, it's not just for him, it's not just for his team, but honestly, it's because of the fact of the impact they're having on some of the largest industries in North America, on our environment, and countless professionals working in these sectors. So during our conversation, we dive into the backstory of how his company went from an idea to a thriving company that's creating a huge impact in transportation and oil and gas industries through the utilization of technology and empathy with people. So one part of our conversation that honestly gets me super jacked up is when Chad highlights how their clients are able to consistently uplift and celebrate their professional drivers. So talk about an incredible recruitment tool, retention tool that we need to integrate into our fleets. So before we get started, of course, I really want you to check out Chad's website, connect with him on LinkedIn. The links are directly in the show notes. So you can go to the website or his LinkedIn page. And yeah, I just highly recommend that you get in contact with them right away. If this is the first time that you've ever checked out the Truck Focus Podcast, I really want to welcome you to our community and to all of our dedicated listeners that keep showing up, keep showing your support. This means the world. Thank you so much. So I do ask now that you subscribe to the channel that you're listening to, but you're going to want to like this episode and share it out. Because again, Chad does such a great job speaking passionately, accurately, and I'm just super excited for our conversation. So as always that I like to say, I look forward to the impact this conversation is going to have. Let's get to it. All right, Chad, super jacked for today. I just want to welcome you to the Truck Focus Podcast. And first off, this is a challenge to our listeners. I honestly believe today Chad is going to pump up your life. And I say that because honestly, the first time I had a conversation with Chad, I literally was just like, man, I'm vibrating from being jacked. And part of that is because he really cares about people. He really cares about our industry, but he also knows what our industry is up against. And him and his team are creating a kick-ass solution to really solve some problems. And part of that's through automation. Part of that is actually understanding, okay, you're a carrier, you're a producer. What are you going through? Oh, okay, I see this. Let's fix it. So super jacked for today. And Chad, just again, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Josh. I'm excited. That intro was awesome.
Very cool. So to start us off, I guess if we wanted, we could stop recording now and that would be fine. But no, I'm just kidding. But yeah, to start us off, can you give us a rundown of who is Chad, but also, yeah, give us a little bit of backstory in transportation, but also in the oil and gas?
Yeah, my name's Chad Hayden. I work with a company called Galatea. And long before Galatea, I got my start in the field when I was 17 years old. I thought I knew everything. And little did I know, after a couple weeks working on a drilling rig in Northeast BC, I went from knowing everything to knowing nothing. It was a really transformative journey for me where I learned the power and value of hard work. It was cool because it gave me the opportunity to really understand a problem too. It didn't last very long on drilling rigs, eventually going to school and then finding my way into the energy industry where I've worked across Canada, South Texas, the Marcellus in Pennsylvania and the Gulf of Mexico. So I've had the opportunity to work in the field all across North America. And it's been a fantastic journey working in operations, working for transportation companies, and now sort of on the other side of it, developing digital solutions to help companies, people, professional drivers just work better, work smarter, and enjoy their jobs.
Awesome, man. It's awesome. Yeah. When anytime someone's been able to experience multi-nations in the workplace and understand that, like, we'll wear, say, a high-vis vest, and in other places, they'll maybe wear a t-shirt, you're kind of like, okay, it's different. And then you start bringing into, like, just different personalities, different types of just responsibility. And I'm like, I need to pick your brain a little bit more. So from your, I guess, almost global experience now, is there, I guess, one or two things that really stand out that you're like, hey, you know what? Those are like milestones for myself that really helped create Chad who he is today. You mentioned the one in the BC, and I want to get there too. But yeah, from the travel and seeing the different culture, how has that impacted you?
Yeah, it's all about perspective, and things happen differently in different jurisdictions. And that's okay. That's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just the way people work and the way that industries develop. The thing that I've seen that's been most interesting in my perspective is working in the oil and gas subset of transportation specifically, just how different that specific use case can be than other sort of transportation sectors' journeys. Seeing technology be applied out of that into oil and gas has been super cool. In energy, we have a lot of catch up to do. You have this massive money machine, and the people at the producers really don't want to mess with anything because we, you know, you don't want to stop that revenue line. So they're more apprehensive to bring digital solutions in. And I think that's a lot of work that goes into Galatea is having a conversation about that journey and talking about other industries that are using different transportation models and having those conversations with the producers to see if these other models, these other technologies, other use cases are a fit in energy.
Totally. Totally. Okay. Where do our listeners go? Learn more about your company. Maybe they are a hauler in the oil field space and they're saying, you know what, we need to tee up, or if they're a producer, but where should they go?
Come find us on LinkedIn. We're pretty active in conversations on LinkedIn about the evolving, you know, we call it a digital renaissance in oil and gas and specifically in energy logistics. Come find us on LinkedIn and follow along.
Nice. No, that's awesome. And okay, so from a company's perspective, you mentioned talking to producers. You obviously, we will dive more into the actual haulers, but can you, I guess, back us up a little bit and talk about what happened to say, you know what, I don't want to work for big corporates no more. I don't want to travel the globe. You know, I'm going to have to settle down. And then you obviously started your company, but what sparked the concept? And can you also talk about the mission? What's the mission that you and your team are on?
Yeah, those are both great questions. You only have so much fun in life. And when you're gallivanting all across North America, working in the field, you know, eventually it's time to settle down. I ended up back in Canada working for an oil field service environmental company. And being in charge of some of their assets and specifically the sales side of it, I realized that the decision-making that was going on in that business wasn't what I assumed it to be. Working for this company, there's a bunch of waste generated as we produce energy. And I got to watch that waste be managed in the field. And it's produced by producers, oil and gas, energy producers. Transporters come and pick it up and they take it to a disposal recycling facility. And sort of that interaction really opened my eyes. A lot of the assumptions that I made into the decision-making process weren't accurate. The best example was, you know, I gave pricing to an energy producer in Calgary here. And I did all my justification. I said, hey, this is going to save you a lot of money. And all of a sudden, the next month, I didn't see any revenue. So I went back to that producer and said, hey, man, you know, I solved your problem. What happened? And he said, well, Chad, I give it to the guy in the field. I'm just so busy. I don't really have time. And the field guy's really good at managing it. So I said, okay, cool. I hopped in a truck and talked to the field guy. And he said, Chad, look at how crazy it is out here. I've got a million things going on. And the times that I generate a lot of waste are times when my facility is upset or it's just chaos. So I let the truck driver deal with it. So I went and talked to the driver and I said, hey, man, I'm at this company. You know, we've given you the best pricing. And he goes, Chad, I don't even see the pricing. I'm working 12-hour days. It's crazy out here. I don't get a chance to stop for lunch. And your competitor has a hot dog machine. I just go there. You know, all factors aside, it's where I go. And I went, wow, the decision-making process behind this, you know, large OPEX spend isn't made intelligently. So from there, I actually went and worked for a transporter. I worked for a trucking company for 2 years because I needed to understand that. And it was fantastic. I got the opportunity to ride around with drivers. I got the opportunity to really understand what goes into that side of it. I have an appreciation for how to manage capital. I have an appreciation for R&M programs. I have an appreciation for what really goes in to managing a transporter in the energy space. And that really gave me a great perspective on how I can make that life, that process, that workflow easier. And that's really what we're doing here at Galatea, trying to optimize the interaction between energy producer, transporter, and receiving facility.
Hey, Josh here. Just a quick interruption of our conversation, as I really want to encourage you to connect with Chad and the team at Galatea Technologies directly, either on their LinkedIn page or by visiting their website. So I've included both links in the show notes. Let's get back to the episode. So again, I come from transportation, obviously, and I've worked for oil field haulers, which honestly was one of the best times of my life till I wanted to say, hey, you know what? I probably should get a little bit of sleep and I want a family and all that good stuff. So I relocated to Calgary. But have you found consistently what you're able to say to almost convince a carrier? Is it to use a program? So is it the numbers? Is it the time saving and hassle? And I guess what would the, just because we have a lot of carriers that listen, and I know that from an ownership standpoint, sometimes they're like, man, my team just doesn't want to change, or they don't want to change. What you're doing is revolutionized absolutely how the game is being played. So what advice are you saying consistently that's having carriers say, hey, yeah, okay, I see this. I see how I can make this work.
Fundamentally, it has to be easier. You have to add value to that driver, to that trucking company owner, to their lives. If you're not doing that, why would they use this? We've worked really hard at Galatea to provide a solution that doesn't need to be downloaded on your phone, because I don't think you should be downloading my app on your own personal device. We worked really hard at Galatea to talk to the professional driver and say, hey, what's the difficult part about this? You know, filling out tickets, TDG forms, characterization, classification, really understanding those pain points and revolutionizing how we deliver it. Because there's so many technologies out there that actually make the job of the driver and the job of the operator at the oil field facility harder. And that's the wrong approach. It needs to be easier. When you can go to the driver and you can go to the operator and say, hey, I'm going to make your life easier. I'm going to give you back more time so you can do more important things than paperwork. The response has been fantastic. I'm also a huge believer in human performance. And we spend a lot of time at Galatea measuring performance and feeding that back to the professional driver as a score. And we find there's nothing that you have to do. All you have to do is measure somebody's performance. You feed that back to them. And inherently, humans want to get better and scores improve. You layer on positive reinforcement, which we do through our application and communications with everybody sort of in that workflow. And we're seeing some unbelievable increases in performance. And it's a way that we can deliver that sustainably to all our clients throughout the industry.
Totally. Yeah. When you first shared that with me, when we were going through the program, even I texted the number and then it texted me back and it was like,
I think you said you're not going to know. It's not the person texting you back, which is very true. But then when you start talking about celebrating the profession, I'm like, okay, that hits me right where it counts, because that's really the space that I try and live in. I like humanizing companies. I like creating culture that actually has retention in mind, not just get your job or do your job, get your butt in the seat and drive. It's okay. Well, how do we actually celebrate the profession, really honor the human? Well, I think, yeah, you're hitting it on the head. So can you walk us through a little bit without giving all the trade secrets away, but how are you using the workflows to celebrate professional drivers? Can you walk us through that?
Yeah. And I'll give you the roadmap, because I think more companies need to do this. If you can incentivize performance, if you can measure, you can also give feedback, people are actually going to enjoy their jobs more. And really that's what this is all about. I think part of the issue that this whole workflow has is the people who pay the bills, the energy producers, don't have a way of measuring performance. They have no idea if this is good or not. And truthfully, what happens is they get a ticket, you know, days, months, weeks after a job was performed, and they just start looking at the number, thinking it's way too big, and start yelling. What we really tried to do was create an upfront estimate and compare those estimates to actuals to find those anomalies. And the cool part about that is it actually allows us to rank driver performance. If you can go to a driver who's never had an attaboy, never had a good job, never had a thank you for coming out here and helping us, and you can deliver that, not only does that affect their performance into the future, but when you're calling for trucks, that makes them want to come out to your location, and it's worked really well. We're still all the time trying to evolve this sort of performance management, behavior management, trying to really pinpoint these key behaviors that drive success. And then bringing that into technology, people in the tech space talk about this as gamification. There's lots of buzz and stuff around that, but when you deliver gamification, simply like you mentioned, through text messages, through appreciation, through bringing in conversations with the actual producers, we find that feedback mechanism, that loop, really drives performance and makes people appreciate their jobs. And at the end of the day, it actually creates more efficient transporters. It's really hard to hire people. It's always been hard to hire people, especially now. We need trucks to be efficient, and that means moving more things with less hours, with less people. If we can drive that efficiency in the industry, if we can track performance, we can measure it, we can manage it. I think that's one of the ways that we pull through as an industry and start to alleviate some of the supply chain pressure that we've been feeling over the last couple of years.
Totally. Yeah. So you hit a couple of things that, again, our first conversation, like I say this all the time when I talk to good people, and I'm like, man, I wish we would have recorded that, because I get like, when we're obviously virtual, I shake my head a lot. I get dizzy. I like have to readjust my chair, fix my shirt, because I'm just like so into the conversation. So I think anyone that's ever checked out the Truck Focus podcast really knows that I have a heart for professional drivers, and I'm a former driver myself. So I think that's part of it. It's removing the just factor and eliminating the excuse of, well, I'm just a driver. No, you're not. And so when you're looking at the recognition component, I've talked about it before, but there's a video. Have you heard of that video game? If there was a study, well, I'm sure there's multiple studies about video games and why they're addictive to adults, especially men.
Tell me more.
Okay. So so I'll try and get this right, so I don't sound like I'm adding to it. Anyway, when a man, typical male, goes to work, female, this could apply to females too, absolutely, but the study was done on males. They wake up in the morning, they have an okay breakfast. What do? They go to their job. Is anyone happy to see them at the job? Maybe. They do their job. Do they get any type of positive recognition? Maybe. They go home at the end of the day. Do their kids give them all the love in the world? Maybe. Does their wife seem super happy to see them? Maybe. Okay, so they eat a mediocre dinner. They sit down on the couch, 7 o'clock at night. Their day is long. They're a little tired. What do they do? Okay, let's play some video games. They go on Xbox Live. First thing that you do, oh, so good to have you back, X. Oh, great headshot. Oh, good jump shot. Oh, you're getting all this validation for doing good stuff. It feels good. So why do you think people want to keep going in that direction? Because it feels good. So when you can actually have an environment at work, which again, I'm super jacked, your company even offers to your people where it's just like, man, we are high-fiving. We are celebrating your successes, regardless of how small. that's retention. That's culture, because people ultimately feel like they're part of something, and it's not just, yep, swipe my card, I'm here. Okay, see you next week. Like, it's really important. So the fact that you've seen that, you've implemented it, you've obviously invested some time and money into it, carriers are using it. I could only imagine, just from myself again, being a former driver, you eliminate the just and you celebrate the profession and the person. So I think that's really key. And I also can see from a operation standpoint to gain that efficiency. When a professional driver is just like, well, of course I'm going to do that, not necessarily selfishly, but subconsciously, that's part of it, to say, well, I can add a little bit more here, or I'm going to watch my idle time so that way I'm not burning unnecessary fuel, all of those things, the carrier benefits. Then my next question to you is, have you seen the response from the producer saying, Chad, whatever you and your team are doing with the carriers and with us, like, this is working? Like, are they starting to really see kind of the magic there and just the relationships better, more productivity, obviously more profit?
Yeah, it's a $40 billion business in North America. You know, that's transportation and disposal. Our lowest client is saving roughly 20% on a $40 billion business. There's a lot of efficiency there. But truthfully, it's not just the generator that sees the value. You know, in oil field hauling, typically how it works is the operator goes and does his run and then gets on the phone and tries to call trucks and line up trucks for tomorrow. When you're running a trucking outfit, giving your employees, 6-hour notice on when they got to go to work, that's difficult. That, you know, causes a bunch of strain on people. I've got 3 little kids. If I had to up and leave before dinner, you know, I can't imagine that. So one of the other things that we're trying to do is help producers understand, you know, you do this a lot actually in commodities, in products, in consumer packaged goods. It's around intelligence and forecasting on scheduling. We don't really do it very well in oil and gas until we came along. We spend a lot of time understanding how fast the tank fills up. We spend a lot of time understanding what's actually in that tank. Is it going to tank separate? What is the ambient temperatures, pressures, situations that's going to cause a different load event? And then instead of returning to a transporter and saying, hey, I need 5 loads tomorrow, we're returning to transporters and saying, hey, here's a 10-day plan. It's much easier to plan a business, to plan routes, to plan drivers when you're looking into the future. And, you know, it happens sometimes right now. And it's this tribal knowledge that these old operators have because they've worked this field for 20 years and they just understand how it works. The advent of machine learning and artificial intelligence allows us to capture that same data set and really understand these nuances in the field that unlock this ability to automate scheduling in the future. The joy to that, the advantage to that, is it makes the transporters' lives easier. They're more effective. By being more effective, it actually costs the producers less money to haul each load. Then again, there's wait times at all these disposal facilities. Like you mentioned earlier, in the app, we capture this via text message instead of having to have some sort of device out there. It's that relationship between when a tank fills up, when there's a transporter driver available, and then what is the right time to land it at a facility? We sort of play that out into the future a lot more than anybody else. And like you had asked earlier, the results are 20% cost savings. Now, the cool part, the part that I stand on my chair and clap and I'm super excited about, is I'm a huge, huge advocate for Canadian energy. I've worked across North America. We have clients in the Middle East today. There is no jurisdiction on the planet that produces more responsible, and responsible from the operational, financial, and environmental aspects, than Canada. We do such an amazing job at it. And our solution helps producers not only save costs, but also increase environmental performance. Send water to places that aren't just deep well injections, to reuse opportunities, to another operation that's going to use it in fracking or all of these other sort of events. That's a fantastic upside too. And I think it's a story that as people in this profession, in this jurisdiction, need to become advocates of. And just like you're an advocate for that professional driver, I like to say that I'm an advocate for Canadian energy.
So powerful, man. Good. Yeah. I'll join you. I'll clap too. Cause it's, it's interesting when you think about, like, okay, what actually impacted your life to really impact your journey. So pivotal impact. And I think it was, so I have a good friend who I did an introduction to you to via the email, but we talk often just on impacts and how did we get to our brain, or how do we get to the way we think, and how do you change the way that you actually think? So when you really, really care about something, there's a reason behind it. And chances are it's because it's had a positive impact in your own journey, which obviously you've experienced and I've experienced. And when I think about oil, Canadian Resources, oil fields, and I think about the relationships that I've had, I think about the opportunities I had to learn, the amount of training. Like that was the first time like I was invested into by being trained very vigorously for a few weeks before I could even do anything. And to me, I'm like, wow, I must be somewhat important, man. This is really cool. Maybe that's not as true as I thought back then, but it was awesome. And like, honestly, like from anything from flying up to camp for the first time, to seeing one of the world's biggest cranes on site, like just like, oh my goodness, beast mode, to the coveralls experience, to the relationships and the families you build on site because you're away from your actual families for 21 days. You're just like, man, but just knowing again, it's clean, it's environmentally friendly, it's some of the best product globally. Like there's all those benefits where it's really nice to see just your perspectives of it and how you're able to take that passion and care and say, you know what, I'm going to do something to make it better. And yeah, I just get super jacked in that space. So I honor that in you, my friend. It's good.
I appreciate that.
Absolutely. So another favorite topic of mine is automation, digitalization, and not just from a user perspective. I like that it's not an app because app overload is real. And I have an app for that. It was a funny slogan that you're still like, yeah, I bet you do. So that is really nice to see. In your opinion, how are companies adapting once they go from paper to digital to automate, to click one button, it does 9 things and it saves them time? How are companies adapting to that? Are they like culture shocked? Are they like, oh, this is crazy? Or are they like loving it?
Well, it's a conversation. We call it at Galatea the roadmap to automation, and it's a series of steps. You know, first step is really that digitalization. There's two words, digitization or digitalization. Digitization, we think, in our opinion, is simply taking a paper document, transcribing it into a digital format. Now, digitalization starts to apply intelligence. The cool part about applying intelligence to that, you know, one great example is when you move any type of oil field waste, you need to have a manifest, which serves as your TDG document. Well, managing TDG regulations, Directive 58 from the AER's regulations, it's really difficult to do. And right now we put that onus on the generator, which sometimes puts the onus on the professional driver. How can we help them by providing intelligence to arrive at the right characterization and classification, to understand what is the right TDG classification, what is the right placards? And you do that through working that and doing that and having to go through that yourself. You know, instead of presenting a big flow chart and having people wander it, in our application, we ask simple questions like, is this being hauled in a vac truck? Is this waste flammable? And here's what you'd have to do to figure it out. It's so people can understand it and arrive at that. And as we're doing that, we're really teaching them about that. So that's step one, digitalization. And now that we have that data somewhere, we can actually look for opportunities to optimize. That's the second part of it. Now that everything is digitalized, we can start to look for better routes. We can start to look for alternative options. We can start to look at, you know, everything on from the scheduling side of it to the disposal side of it, timing, all these sorts of things. And as we go on that journey, we really look for 2 or 3 opportunities to optimize. And then once you do that, you have to build rapport within the company because you have to get the buy-in of the people, the drivers, the operators out in the field that, hey, these guys are really doing something cool here. Just like you'd mentioned earlier with driverless vehicles, I hope somebody doesn't buy a Tesla and just hits the autopilot button the first time they jump in. This is a process we got to take with our clients. It starts with digitalization. Then we start to introduce optimization. And eventually, once the clients, we built enough rapport and the field people trust us, we move to that next step, which is full automation. And what full automation to us means is that the tanks will actually start to dispatch or request their own loads into the future. When we get this information digitalized back, think about a truck ticket, we'll compare that truck ticket to actuals, we'll look at performance, and then instead of it having to go to an AP person for the payable to be shuffled, we'll just automatically pay it. that's fantastic, because then we can actually take day sales outstanding or the time from doing the work to getting cash in your bank account but down. And it requires less people to manage this process. But there's a lot of things you need to do, both as a technology provider, as a service provider, and then as the person that actually owns the process. In our case, it's the energy producer. To actually make this be successful, you need that change agent. You need that field level person to adopt it. You need management support. You need all these sorts of things that we've realized taking clients through that journey. If you can give anybody a map or a roadmap and really talk about some of the key learnings through taking a client through this process, that's been super impactful to our success, and it helps us, you know, move a lot of our clients through that process.
It's powerful. So a tank can then dispatch the truck knowing that the tank will be full at X time, X date. So that way there is basically no downtime. And then through the dispatch service, they're able to see, okay, you can go, instead of going 95 kilometers north, why don't you do 62 kilometers east and you can go drop it off. So you're saving time there. You've built that roadmap, which then it's obviously the job is done. The invoice is leads to payment. That's the roadmap that you've built, or collectively you guys have done.
Oh yeah. We've even taken it to another level. You know, when we're hauling oil field waste, we're driving down lease roads that are not very good. So we even do things like looking at weather forecasts, understanding our prediction model. If we see bad weather coming in, that's going to make a lease road that's subjectable to inclement weather, we'll actually dispatch trucks out ahead of time, because if that tank fills up, the money machine for the energy producer shuts down. And producers already do this. Good operators in the field already know these things, but we've been able to systematize it, digitize the right data, bring in those tank level sensors, understand the impacts, create models, intelligence models, and then apply this out into the industry. When this actually goes off and an operator for the first time, you know, sees a truck out there and they're like, why is the truck out here? And then it sees in our model that, hey, it's going to rain. And they look at the front and they go, they're absolutely blown away that we can figure this out and repeatedly figure this out. So it's been super impactful, and it's always fun to get that feedback from the producers.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that for sure. I can see the look on the guy's face, almost like, are you cheating? Oh, wait a second. Like, yeah, I can see. I've talked to enough operators that I'm sure I could hear a bad word or two that I won't say on here. You're welcome, Mr. Avery, my son, but it, yeah. Okay. So what do you find then? Obviously you got to build the trust. What is the, is there a contributing factor to that? Is it because it's always a team effort that there's checks and balances that build the trust to be able to automize and systemize the entire thing, or automate? I'm sorry. Yeah. What I guess would be the contributing factor to that?
There's lots of them, and we've thought we nailed it a few times, and honestly, we're trying to figure out the recipe. The biggest thing in our mind is the mindset of the company. This is a crazy journey, you know, to talk about letting digitalization into your business. There's a couple ways that it happens. You get a change agent in there that can have a couple good opportunities, and then they develop a track record, and then the company says more. Just like what's going on in the transportation industry around logs, you know, there is this drive and this need for companies to apply digitalization, because that's the only way they're going to be in compliance. So that's the other opportunity there. And we do see that from regulatory pressure. And then the other one is a lot of the big companies talk about these futuristic workflows. And how can we incorporate a lot of the cool technologies? If you get the time to listen to them, and they can tell you what their vision of the future, you know, the whole goal, like a merge lane, is to get there at the same time they are with the right solution. And we've had a lot of success having conversations with the big companies that have their eye on future workflows and having honest conversations about where we're at today and how do we get to that sort of merge lane together at the right time to be effective and enable some of these, you know, these futuristic, less touch, more automated solutions.
So powerful, man. I'm happy for you. I think that's super exciting. So the, I think overall, I didn't lie when I hyped you up at first. And yeah, those I can see on camera, like I keep shrinking in my chair because when he's chatting, I'm smiling and head bobbing because I'm like, yes. So I appreciate that, man. I appreciate all the content, but also more of the value that you're bringing, the passion, obviously, that you serve with your team. So before we end our conversation today, I do have a couple of what I call staple questions that I feel are really important. Obviously, on the podcast, we're in the transportation, logistics, oil and gas, all those great industries. And when you're thinking about your journey and you think about your legacy, not when you're dead, in the moment, intentional living, intentional creating an impact, are you aware of the impact that you're having on your team, but also on major industries, major companies? Like, are you consciously thinking, yes, because of these things that are happening, I see it, I'm aware of it, and I own it? Or is it something you even think about?
Yeah, I've worked for a lot of really bad managers at a lot of really bad companies. So I spent a lot of time with culture and thinking about how to create a business that I would actually love to be in and making sure that we're training people about how that survives. We wrote this guidebook for Galateans. It's sort of our handbook on we call it How We Climb Mountains, but it really sets the foundation for who we are, how we act, what is our mission, what is our vision. Also, I think towards the legacy conversation, energy, you know, the big construct of energy, we're going through this massive energy transition, and that is a transition. And it is going to take all forms of energy to get through that. You know, I look at my own personal life with a couple of kids, we're only plugging in more devices, we're only using more electrons. Hopefully one day I'll be able to afford a Tesla because they seem like a super cool car, but you got to plug that in. And those electrons have to come from somewhere. And I really, really, really hope that the last hydrocarbon molecules that are used for things like plastics and in transportation come from Canada, because we do such a good job managing this and we really, really care. You know, we do such a good job managing the environment, such a good job managing water, such a good job managing, you know, the financial aspects of the business. I'm a huge advocate for it. And I think the more that we can learn about energy and that sort of energy ecosystem and where your electrons that come into your house, when you turn on your furnace, where does that gas come from? When you go to fill up your truck, where does that hydrocarbon molecule come from? Because we work all over the world, and the way that some jurisdictions produce hydrocarbons are much different than how we do it in Canada. This recent unfortunate conflict in Russia has really brought to light energy security and how important that is for us. You know, we have all of these luxuries that we take for granted. And a lot of it is due to, you know, our secure energy security and the ability that we have in Canada to produce, you know, sustainable energy. So I'm a huge advocate of that, and I hope that comes through in conversations like this and through how we portray ourselves and talk about ourselves on, you know, platforms like LinkedIn.
Yeah, man, totally does. Yeah, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate your intentionality, because I think, yeah, there's a lot of people in life that just kind of skip through life and don't really pay attention to the left or the right. But when you're actually intentional and you understand how things work and how things happen and you can make things better, I think that's key. So I appreciate that. So a little bit of your backstory. You mentioned that you got to spend time with professional drivers in the truck, which I think is awesome. You obviously spend a lot of time just with your own company constructing an incredible tool to celebrate professional drivers. So what would you say is something that you're most grateful for or respect about professional drivers?
I think we have so much, we've afforded so much luxury in our life, and we take professional drivers for granted so much. We don't understand that when you are a professional driver, you are sacrificing so much of your life. You're sacrificing birthdays, graduations, holidays, anniversaries, all these sorts of things to ensure that, you know, I've got cool t-shirts and hats and I've got food and I've got all this sort of stuff. I really honestly don't think the average person appreciates the commitment, the sacrifice that goes into being a professional driver. You know, when we think about the future, one of the jobs that's going to increase, not decrease, is professional drivers. And I hope there's more and more solutions that go help professional drivers with training, better understanding, support, technology to make their lives easier. It's a profession that I think young people should absolutely consider. We need to figure out a way to make it more rewarding and attract people to it. I look at how often even that Amazon person is in my house every day. When you get a product and you look at where it was made, that's an incredible journey to get blueberries from Chile to Costco. You know, that's a lot of transportation that goes into that. And when you're eating those blueberries, I don't think many people appreciate the logistics, the professional drivers, the transportation industry that's worked really, really hard to get that there.
Totally. Yeah, man. And this is awesome. So again, Chad, I'm just super grateful. And I just think the mission that you're on, the collective mission, where your head's at, and the fact that you're a visionary, you're a leader, and I just really admire you as a person. I just think it's great. I'm so grateful that you could take the time. Join me, obviously, on the Truck Focus podcast. So as we come to an end, can you just let people know again, what's the best place to go just to check out Galatea Technologies?
Yeah, if you want to be involved in the energy conversation, if you want to be involved in the future of logistics, we talk a lot about it on LinkedIn. We share a lot of the cool things that we're doing. We talk and get some feedback from a lot of the behavioral science stuff. So please come on LinkedIn, find me, connect with me, connect with Galatea Technologies. The more people that are active in these conversations, the more diversity of perspectives that we can have in that, you know, the more robust, durable solutions that we can provide. And ultimately, I hope that technology lands in the hands of professional drivers, and it gives us the ability to provide a better place to work, a better tool to use, and just a more enjoyable, rewarding career.
Totally. Appreciate that, man. Yeah, thanks again so much. And just super excited just for the impact that I know our conversation will have. I'm also excited for our listeners to say, hey, you know what? I need to connect with Chad. I need to get in this space. If it's joining the conversation, obviously becoming a client is also important. And yeah, I'm just super grateful, man. So thank you so much again. And we are obviously hitting the long weekend. So hopefully you and the family can enjoy. So thanks again, bro. Appreciate it.
That was awesome. Thank you.
Awesome. Chad, honestly, man, thank you so much for taking the time, hopping on the Truck Focus podcast today. Just really value your time, your expertise, and your passion, man. Super hyped on our conversation, but more so about the impact that you and your team are having again with so many people across so many sectors of industry across North America. Absolutely incredible. And I'm super jacked for where you guys are headed. So honestly, for myself, a huge takeaway of our conversation is when you walked us through the process of the entire dispatch service, how it works, but how you're able to use this technology to make sure that people save a boatload of money, but you're also allocated specific processes and tools to celebrate professional drivers. And I identify as an industry advocate, a professional driver advocate. So I thought that was phenomenal. And I'm just super grateful that you're doing that. So to our listeners, honestly, again, I highly recommend that you're connecting with Chad and the team. Learn more about Galatea Technologies, either on LinkedIn or visiting their website. I've included the links in the show notes, but again, Chad, great job. Super excited. So again, if this is the first time you've ever checked out the Truck Focus podcast, I really want to welcome you to our community and to our dedicated listeners that continue to show up, continue to listen and learn. I'm just so grateful for your investment of time. Again, I do ask that you like this episode and share it out, because as I mentioned at the beginning of the episode and throughout, Chad drops so many good pieces of advice and how-tos. We got to get in this space more. We got to be passionate. We can help more people. And this is how. You got to make sure that more people hear about it. So I do ask that you share it out. And again, subscribe to the channel you're listening on. So that way you're notified of all upcoming content. We do release episodes weekly. And I just want to make sure that, yeah, the right episodes goes right to your ears and all that good stuff. But again, Chad, thank you so much, buddy, for hopping on. Again, listeners, you're taking the time to listen. Just means the world to us. And yeah, as always, let's create a pivotal impact.